We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Herbie! Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
I don't doubt that Anthony was hurt. We saw it. We saw it play out. But how many times have we seen a basketball player roll their ankle, go in the back, get it taped up, and come back and play?
And play basketball.
Right, run and jump sport. How many times have we seen a football player roll their ankle, get the tape cut off, get it retaped and spat it up, and go back out there? How many times have we seen hockey players get hit in the ankle with a stick and be like, ah! And then they go on the back and they do whatever it is they do back there, and then that guy doesn't miss a shift.
Well, Lawrence, obviously you haven't played at a high level. You know, playing baseball, when you got to put the foot down and the ankle takes a little torque. You know.
Make me a bicycle clown!
We had a lot of fun with yesterday's show. And we plan to have a lot of fun today. Welcome in. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I'm with you until 2 o'clock today. We are going to talk a lot of Bears on the show, which I'm excited about. It won't be mostly the Mitch stuff. It's actually, I was sitting in the room prepping today. I was in one of the studios, and there's some Akeem Hicks stuff that I want to get to. Like, just looking at what the impact is of Akeem Hicks not being on the Bears for the last 8 weeks and go through what's real and what's imagined. And I also want to let you hear from Hicks. So we got a lot of stuff that we're going to do on today's show. JJ Stankovic is going to join me in the next segment. The first segment is the way we start the show, as we start all things, with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
Here is your rundown for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. Breaking news from the world of baseball. After Cole Hamels' podcast appearance, where he's talking about, yeah, man, White Sox, that'd be a good match for me. The Atlanta was like, here's $18 million. Do we make a better match for you? And he was like, you absolutely do. So Cole Hamels is going to sign a one-year $18 million deal to be an Atlanta Brave. Meanwhile, yesterday on this show, we were talking about the Cubs and the idea that the Cubs might trade a couple of their guys. And Chris Bryant's name has come up a lot in conversation. Gordon Whitmire joined me. It was a really like all-encompassing interview. But I took a risk and I wanted to ask Gordon what the relationship is between the Cubs and Bryant. Here's what he said.
I think when the service time issue came up, that was a punch in the nose to him, more so even than not getting called up in September the year before when he deserved it. And he wasn't too happy about that either. But when he didn't make the team out of camp, when they promised him he would have a chance and then came to discover, if he didn't already know it, that it was completely business, it changed, I guess, his maybe some of his idealism, I guess, as far as playing the game and the track of his career. So I don't think that he, like, to this point in time, I think he's come to accept that and grown awareness in how the game operates. I don't think he holds it personally against them. He certainly sees it as a flaw and a wrong within the system.
It's something to keep an eye on what they do and who they decide. We're also, there's been a couple of interesting quotes from Tom Ricketts at the Sports Business Journal panel about payroll and budgets and all sorts of stuff. If we get a chance today, we will bring that to you. You heard Dan and Connor and I talking about this. DePaul has a big game tonight, and it's weird for me to say that. The Blue Demons are 8-0. They have a game against a very good Texas Tech team. Dave Lato was on my show a couple days ago. We talked about them prepping for Texas Tech.
I think that we play defense pretty well, and we play pretty hard, and we're going to face a team that does that to the highest level. That's what got them to the national championship game, and it's something that has been, you know, the staple of Coach Beard, you know, since he's been in this business. I go back, and we were talking about it yesterday, a story where we my first year back here in 2015, we played Arkansas Little Rock, and a guy in T-Bar, and it was his first year, and after the game, I shook his hand and gave him a hug because they had defended us better than anybody I probably had been around in a long, long time. And you know, the way they play it schematically, and then how hard they play and how they rally to each other is really unique. And so they've been able to do that at the highest level now at Texas Tech and have a whole lot of success, quite obviously. So our preparation, you know, yesterday, today, and tomorrow is going to have to be really, really sound because of what I said before. Our execution is going to have to be really good to take advantage of some of the things that they do, which are very unique.
DePaul versus Texas Tech, 7:30 tonight in the South Loop at the Wind Trust Arena. On to football matters. Former Bears DC, former Bears linebacker, former Panthers head coach Ron Rivera was let go yesterday. Here's what the new Panthers owner David Tepper said about that.
Ron Rivera, besides being a good coach, is one of the finest men I've ever met in my life. I'll just say that up front. Look, I came here 2 years ago. I wanted to show patience on the football side and see how it was going. You know, on the business side, we made vast and sweeping changes. And I didn't want to make those vast and sweeping changes on the football side. I'm going to take time and patience to see what could go and how it could go. I just thought it was time, given the way things have gone the last two seasons, to put my stamp on this organization on the football side, as we've done on the business side of the organization.
So Ron Rivera is out. I imagine that he will be on the top of a lot of lists of head coaches vacancies around the NFL because of his resume, being a two-time coach of the year, having a team go to the Super Bowl. A lot of it comes down to, over the last couple years, you haven't really had a healthy Cam Newton. Cam Newton, by the way, minor surgery on a Lisfranc injury, so we'll see if he's going to be healthy enough to ball next year. He's going to make, what, $20 million, I believe, for the Panthers, or if he's moved to another team, a lot more than that overall. What about the Bears? They have a game tomorrow night. Khalil Mack said this about Roquan Smith.
It's huge, man. When that guy's played, when he plays well, we play well as a defense. So it's going to be huge. I'm looking forward to see what he does on Thursday as well.
What kind of fire did you see out of him the other day? It seemed like he had.
Yeah. Roquan plays with a chip on his shoulder, man. It's a beautiful thing, man. And I heard him talking a little bit last game. I never heard him talk like that before. So he needs to keep doing it.
Okay, well, what about the offensive side? And we'll have more on the Bears coming up in a little bit. Matt Nagy says it doesn't matter who the defense is. Mitch and the offense should play well and win.
Really, any defense that we see in this league, I know all the top five, top 10 defenses, and we've seen a lot of pretty good defenses this year. And so regardless of who we're playing, what we're just trying to do is play well that week against that defense. And Dallas is one of those defenses. So the common sense answer to your question is that if he does well and we do well as an offense and a team against this defense and we win, our confidence is going to be at a really good place.
Okay, and the good news is that incredibly good linebacker for the Cowboys, Leighton Vander Esch, is not going to play. The bad news is the Bears also have a ton of injuries that they are dealing with. And in a week where the game is, you know, a little over 24 hours away, it doesn't look like a bunch of their starters are going to make it into the game. That is your rundown for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. We are going to stay on that path and talk about the Bears and the injury report, which I think is a critical piece to this game. JJ Stankovic is going to join me. We will do that next. We also are going to do a whole segment about the impact of Akeem Hicks. I got some stuff that I want to run past you. I'm Lawrence Holmes, and you're listening to The Score. Welcome in.
We We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Have a little fun, brother.
Let's go.
Okay? Have an awesome game today, Ken.
J.J. Stankovitz, covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago.
You are still taking your fitness very seriously.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to go drink beer and have pizza after this, but I earned it.
Every single Friday.
I want to see it come out of you right here.
Yes, sir.
You take this thing over right now.
Yes, sir.
J.J. Stankovitz with Lawrence Holmes on 670 The Score.
Each week, J.J. Stankovitz joins us. We jump on Bears coverage and discuss what's going on with the team. J.J. does a great job of covering the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago. He joins me on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford and Melrose Park, 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from. He's probably the only football reporter in America that has that as their theme music. How does that make you feel, JJ?
Extremely special and also so proud of the work we put in during that horrible 2017 season covering the Bears, where there wasn't much interesting to do on that field at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia, but thanks to Apache. So worked out great.
It did work out great. All right, now we have to get serious. Now we got to talk about serious football. JJ, the Bears have a lot of injuries, right? I'm looking at the injury report. Who might not play tomorrow?
Man, if Prince Mukamara does not play, that is a big issue for this team. You know, Kyle Fuller doesn't really travel. Chuck Pagano, and this, you know, predates Chuck. It goes back to Vic Fangio. They trust their cornerbacks. You know, Mukamara will play coverage, press coverage at the line of scrimmage, and Kyle Fuller will kind of be the off guy playing, you know, maybe 8-9 yards off the line of scrimmage, and they don't really travel. So, theoretically, the Cowboys could get Amari Cooper matched up on Kevin Tolliver for 70 snaps on Thursday, and Amari Cooper is already a bad matchup for anyone who's going against him, who's not named Stephon Gilmore, let alone Kevin Tolliver, who's a second-year undrafted free agent who really hasn't played a whole lot in his career. So, to me, that's kind of the number one concern I have about the Bears going into this game. Obviously, you know, Taylor Gabriel and Ben Broniker seem like they won't play, given they're still in the concussion protocol. No Bobby Massey, but their fill-ins played well in Detroit. You know, Javon Wims had a good game. Jesper Horsted made that touchdown catch. You know, Cornelius Lucas, I thought, played a pretty solid game at right tackle. So the one that is concerning is Mukamara, just given that the Cowboys, if they are smart, which I think Lawrence is maybe up for debate,
sure,
will target Kevin Tolliver quite a bit, and especially with Amari Cooper.
How worried should I be about Broniker and Gabriel?
You know, the concussions are scary. You know that. For Gabriel, it's the second one he's had this year. That you never like to see that. You know, far be it from me to make a claim about how Taylor Gabriel is feeling right now. Only he and the Bears training staff know that, but anytime you have two concussions in one year, that is a concern. Really, anytime you have one concussion, not to downplay just, you know, a single concussion, it is always, guys recover from those at their own speed. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes guys are right back out there after a couple days in the protocol. You never really know with concussions. It's a really dangerous injury and one that you certainly cannot try to rush back from.
Let's talk about the quarterback for a second. You wrote a piece talking about Cam Newton. And whether or not it made sense for the Bears to pursue Cam Newton. I also thought it was interesting that you were talking about their level of progress that they see in Mitch. What's real from what the Bears front office and coaching staff is saying about how well Mitch has played over the last, I mean, they have you thinking it's the last five games. What's real from what you've seen?
The real stuff it really was in Detroit with his timing. That, to me, was kind of the biggest thing, where he was on time with his throws, where you've seen times where Taylor Gabriel flashes open, like against the Chargers, and Mitch was not on time with that throw. You know, there's really only one throw against Detroit where Mitch wasn't on time. That was one to Robinson, where it got picked off, where the linebacker kind of shaded his vision a little bit. But that was good to see from a development standpoint. But the point I was making in that article, Lawrence, was that the Bears have been dropping these breadcrumbs for a little while now that they are going to stick with Mitch Trubisky. And I think you would have to kind of you would have to be really focusing on what Mitch has not done well this year and only focusing on that to miss the kind of signals the Bears are sending about their confidence in Trubisky. Look, I mean, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, to varying extents, kind of staked their careers to Mitch Trubisky. And to cut bait with him after 3 years, in which in the third year he did not take the step forward you expected, but still has a chance to finish the season strong, would be a decision that very few, if any, football teams have ever made. You know, I made the comment on Sports Talk Live yesterday that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave Jameis Winston 5 years to figure his stuff out. And that's a guy who's a bad quarterback as well as being a bad person. So I don't, you know, teams have kept quarterbacks around for less than what Mitch Trubisky has done this year. And getting beyond that, the money that the Bears have, the cap space is just not all that robust next year. So they're not going to really be able to go out and trade for a guy who has a cap hit of $19 million like Cam Newton, or go and really be serious players for a guy like Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to command over $20 million per year in the free agent market. You know, you can get creative with contracts and signing bonuses and cap hits and all that. And Ryan Pace and Joey Lane, I think, do a good job with that. But it doesn't seem quite realistic that they're going to go out and get that guy who you sign for starter money. To me, it's more realistic that they will bring in someone who will be sort of competition for Mitch Trubisky, but someone who Trubisky should beat out, like a Marcus Mariota. I think that is more of the blueprint that they will be looking at, rather than a big-time name like a Cam Newton or a Teddy Bridgewater or one of those guys.
It bothers me a little bit, JJ, that they're selling so hard on this. And if I were Mitch, I'd probably feel patronized. As someone who's just an observer of the Bears, I feel a little insulted. Because even games that they're like, oh, well, Mitch, you know, he was special out there. Mitch has been like, you know, I was okay. We won, and that's what mattered. And last week, it seemed as if Nagy went out of his way to be like, you can talk about the other guys, but Mitch was special. It just seems like they're doing way too much to try and convince themselves or the public that they have their guy.
Yeah, I mean, when the Bears were in the midst of their four-game losing streak, the mantra was, it's not all Mitch's fault. And then Mitch Trubisky throws for 338 yards, and the mantra was, it was Mitch's day. I thought Mitch's press conference after that Lions game was about as spot on as you could get, where he did not take any of the credit for it. He just said, I was doing my job, and my job is to get the ball to the playmakers. I think that press conference probably resonated more with the team than anything Nagy has said. Not that, you know, what Nagy says publicly always needs to resonate with the team, because players half the time don't even know what he says, which is pretty standard for players on an NFL team with their coach. But I think that, you know, it is interesting how they're trying to sell it. But I do think, you know, look, Mitch Trubisky has made progress. But missing in that context is that he hit rock bottom in the first half of the Eagles game, where they couldn't move the ball. That was just awful. The Eagles' defense, as we saw against the Dolphins, is pretty bad. And the Bears could not move the ball against them in the first half of that game. And I think, to me, that was kind of the rock bottom moment. And then since then, he's made progress. But if you're making progress from the bare minimum, from basement level, you know, how much progress has he really made? If you look at his last four games, he's been league average. If you look at his stats from passer rating to yards per attempt to touchdown to interception ratio over the last four games, he's been what the league average has been this year. So it's not like he's been special. It's been okay. It's been good. But it has not been anything special. But I do think that when we get to the offseason and we hear from Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they will be pointing to the throws he made to Anthony Miller at the end of the Lions game, the touchdown to David Montgomery, the touchdown to Jesper Horsted, you know, even going back as far as Week 10, the touchdown to Ben Broniker and Taylor Gabriel in that game. That's what we're going to hear about. We're not going to hear about the poor decisions or the overthrows or the you know, struggles to go through his progressions. That's not what we're going to hear about. We're going to hear about the good moments from a Bears brain trust that really wants and maybe needs Mitch Trubisky to be successful.
Yeah, and two of those games are against a coach that is so stubborn that he doesn't understand that you don't play man against Mitch, and Mitch has made him pay for it the three times that he's faced him. It's a Bears Friday on a Wednesday today here on The Score. Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. Let's talk about Akiem Hicks, JJ. What's been the impact from what you've seen so far of having Akiem Hicks back at practice and in the locker room?
Well, Lawrence, you know, we don't really get to watch a lot of practice. So the main thing that I've got from just talking to people is that Akiem brings this certain energy that, you know, he has at all times, right? But when he's on the field, it's different. I was talking to Eddie Goldman about this, and he said that Akiem, when the Bears defense thinks they're down and they're out of gas and they're beat, Akiem always rallies them and always finds a way to get a play. Whether he's making it, whether someone else is making it, he's that guy who really brings that energy. And he pointed to at the end of the Dolphins game in overtime last year, where, if you remember, it was Kenyon Drake got a handoff at the 1 yard line and Akiem Hicks forced the fumble. The Bears recovered it. They averted a loss for the moment. And that was the play that really stood out to Eddie Goldman. It was like, we were beat. We were tired. We were, you know, really getting our butts kicked by a pretty mediocre team, but it was hot. It was just a bad game. And Akiem still came out and made that play. And that you really cannot replace that. You know, guys like Eddie Goldman and Nick Williams and Roy Robertson-Harris, those guys are good football players, but they are not Akiem Hicks. And you really cannot understate the impact that having a guy who is as good of a leader as he is a player be out on the field on every single snap.
No, I agree. And I think that it's funny because I'm actually going to go through some of the numbers of the Bears run game with and without Hicks. And the thing is, JJ, I feel like it's the run game is one thing. I feel it's the impact has been felt in the pass game for the opponent, because you're already getting two or three guys on Mac. And there just hasn't been enough consistent force in the middle of the pocket to force quarterbacks to move towards Mac or towards Leonard Floyd so that he can make a play. That's where I feel like they've really missed him.
Yeah, because quarterback, I mean, we saw it from David Blau a ton where he was able to, you could feel the pressure from Khalil Mack and he would just step up in the pocket because there's no real downside to that. But when you have an Akiem Hicks in there, if you step up in the pocket, you might trip over your right guard because Akiem has knocked him 4 yards into the backfield. So I totally am with you, Lawrence. And if you look at Khalil Mack's stats, in games that Akiem Hicks has played, so we're going to count that as the Packers, the Broncos, and Washington, like really played, Mack has 20 pressures and 3 sacks. In Mack's other games, which is a total of 9, he has 37 pressures and 2.5 sacks. And that's not like Khalil Mack is a worse player because Akiem Hicks is out there. It's just he's getting all that attention. And, yeah, when he does win at the top of his rush, a quarterback can step up. Whereas previously, if Mack wins at the top of his rush, if you step up, you're going to get hit. So now you're talking about a guy getting into a scramble drill, and Mack can usually get to those guys. As opposed to if you step up in the pocket, you might have a guard there to block Mack instead of him getting after a quarterback. So it's a good thing that this Thursday night game will be the last time the Bears will play without Akiem Hicks this year if all continues to go well. But it very much belies the point that the Bears have to win this game to really make Akeem's return count.
Do you think they'll sit him if they don't win?
No. Akiem is one of those players who, boy, I would not want to be the kind of coach who would have to go tell him, hey, you know, you worked your way back and you really busted it to get back on the field after you couldn't lift a 2-pound weight, and we kind of dangled this carrot over you. But now, you know, because we're 6-7, we're not going to let you play. That would not be a positive conversation with Akiem Hicks. He is a guy who is going to play if he's healthy, and I'm not quite sure there's anyone who could or should stop him. Because, look, you know, I think it's easy for us to sit here, not as the guy who went through the rehab, and say, they should sit him, keep an eye on next year. If he's able to, if the Bears lose this game, Akiem Hicks, if he plays, A, that will help out next year because the Bears defense will end the season playing better football than they have earlier without him playing. But also, what message does that send to Akiem Hicks? And if the next time he goes on IR, is he really going to attack rehab as aggressively? If he's like, well, at the end of this, they might just tell me I'm not going to play because our team's not good enough. That doesn't send a good message to anyone on a team. Maybe if it's week 17 and they're really out of it, you sit a couple guys. But for week 15, especially going up to Green Bay, I think there's a 0% chance Akiem Hicks does not play as long as he is cleared to play. He'll be active for that game no matter what the Bears' record is.
JJ, as always, great stuff. Thank you very much for being on the show.
You got it, Lawrence. Thanks.
That's JJ Stankovich. You can read his work on NBCSportsChicago.com. He also does the Under Center podcast with Cam Ellis over there. It's a really good stuff. Occasionally I pop up on that podcast and we talk ball, which is a lot of fun for me. I have a thought on Akiem Hicks and Khalil Mack. And I want to talk about the chances of Akiem being back and what that means for this Bears defense. I want to go through a couple numbers, too. I'll share them with you next here on The Score.
It's a Bears Friday on a Wednesday today on The Score. Bears Friday is brought to you by Dunkin'. Chicago runs on Dunkin'. I'm Lawrence Holmes here with you until 2 o'clock. What you want is for us to keep talking about the Bears, and we're going to do that. By the way, I haven't talked about the crew. They're back together. Herbie is the EP of the show. Rick Camp had a couple days off, but he's back. I guarantee you that you'll hear their voices over the next, hour and 15 minutes of the show, especially at 1 o'clock, because I want to talk about something that we didn't get to yesterday that we will get to today, I promise you, and that's about the Bears and them making the playoffs. But before that, I'll let you know that this segment is being brought to you by Burlington Stores. Help spread the warmth. Join Burlington's annual coat drive. Through January 20th, donate a coat at any Burlington store to help your neighbors in need. As thanks, receive 10% off your purchase. Find your store at burlington.com. So over the last two seasons, once the Bears made the move for Khalil Mack, you have to remember that this defense was a pretty good defense before Mack got here, and he was kind of the finishing piece of that. You bring him in and you see the type of impact that he has because what some of the other players do. And let's add Roquan Smith into the mix there too. Drafting Roquan Smith and having him play alongside Danny Trevathan makes a difference for your defense. And Roquan, for the last few games, has really been special, to use Matt Nagy's words. I think Akiem Hicks, I'm an Akiem truther. I'm one of the people that says that he's more valuable than people give credit for. I think that Mack is a better player. He's a better player. I think Mack is going to the Hall of Fame. He's on a Hall of Fame trajectory as a player. But I think that what's made it work for the Bears when the two of them are together is the two of them being together. You have someone who impacts the inside of an offensive line and someone who impacts the outside. And when you've got that good balance, it makes it really hard to stop them. I think that the reason that you've seen the Bears' defense look more mortal, and Mack in particular, is because if Hicks isn't out there causing destruction in the middle of an offensive line, it makes it easier to go, okay, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have our right or left tackle. We're going to line up a tight end on the side that Mack is on. And we might even do a little something and chip with a running back or crack with a tight end or crack with a wide receiver. If you could allocate more pieces to stopping Mack because the rest of the guys can't get home, that's a problem. That's where I think them together is better than either one of them separately. Hicks has a lot of value, and when he went out, I was trying to tell people, look, it's not going to look the same because of how disruptive of a player he is. Now, he can't play this week. He can practice, and he's gotten back to practice this week. This is what he said his rehab was like and what his arm feels like.
Miserable. It's to
So I'm not going to brag on myself, but I'm a guy that I'll grab whatever dumbbells in the weight room, right? And to go into treatment and not be able to lift more than 2, 3, 4, 5 pounds after getting back from London, it was a different feeling, right? It's very humbling. It makes you think what people go through that don't have an arm, right? Or that are missing, you know, something. So, you know, it gives you, it puts things in perspective. And, wow, yeah, it's good to be here now.
So that was Hicks talking about what's going on with his elbow and like how he went through all of this rehab to get himself in a position to play next week. I had Anthony Heron on the show Monday. Anthony played defensive line, and he was telling a story about Luther Ellis, who he considered to be one of his mentors when he was in Detroit, going through something similar. And we have a conversation about the effectiveness of Hicks's play if he's good enough to be back, but maybe not quite 100%.
He basically played with one arm for a little while, and he was able to be, he wasn't Luther, he wasn't his old self, but he was able to be fairly effective at times, and it still made a big difference. If Akiem Hicks can still be a guy that opponents need to pay extra attention to, at least even if he can be a guy that just gets penetration, perhaps the one arm, if the left arm doesn't necessarily allow him to be as violent with that side of his body to disengage from blocks and get in a position where he makes plays. But if he can still find a way just to penetrate, and you know, without going into the weeds of levers and how you utilize them for penetration, but if he can still get it to where he's ripping through a gap or getting skinny to penetrate, just using his force, and if it's all generated mainly from lower body power and then getting some shoulder turn, there's still ways that he can be an effective part of pushing the pocket, while if he gets washed by the quarterback but ends up flushing him, then that's still something the pass protection would have to pay extra attention to. It's just a matter of how healthy is that arm to potentially allow him to get perhaps an initial club on the defender. And that, as much as anything, would likely be, and I, you know, I've never fully dislocated my elbow before. I've subluxed it and had to play in a harness on that arm before. The most painful move for him to make is one of the ones that he's most effective with, is that initial club move where you're swinging your arm to unweight the blocker and then bringing your other lever through, whether you're bringing it over the top with a swim or through underneath with a rip move. And if he can't necessarily be very effective or violent with the club because of all the shock that runs through the elbow, and if it just causes too much pain, then he'll have to figure out what essentially his off-speed pitch is to be able to still be effective while using that left arm in some capacity.
It can the off-speed pitch be changing the way that you do it? Like, if you're right-handed, does the club arm now become the left arm? Is that possible? Is that something that has to be natural, or can you relearn basically how to pass rush that way?
It certainly can be still effective if most naturally, if it's a move that you've already been effective with, because he hasn't been in a position to attempt to really practice that throughout this time that he hasn't been able to be on the field. He is a guy who, now, I think I've mentioned to you before, or maybe I was mentioning to Dan and Connor, Akiem Hicks is, his film, his tape is not always just mechanically or technically what you would teach as just kind of clinic-worthy tape for defensive tackle play. He doesn't always line up with the hand down that you would teach. Like, maybe he's got his right hand down when he's hitting a blocking surface towards the left, or, you know, he'll pass rush with the opposite hand down at times. There's not things, or even the way he hits blocks, sometimes he'll put his shoulder into a blocker as opposed to going full hat and hands with the hand placement inside. So there are imperfections just to his technique on a fairly regular basis, but he is, not only is this, he's a massive kind of mountain of a man, he has such power, such force that he brings, but he plays with such energy, and then there's things that he is very technically proficient with, even though if he plays a little high at times, or if he doesn't have the perfect hand placement at times, there's a lot of guys who are imperfect with their technique that still find a way to get away with that, whereas an Aaron Donald, per se, when Aaron Donald rushes with power, it's normally when he's got the perfect hat and hands, like a triangular position where his hands are inside, he's unweighting a blocker, getting under them, pressing the guy away. Because Aaron Donald is smaller in stature, and so for him, being technically sound is a much bigger deal, because he's not just going to be able to sort of hulk someone, you know, to get their leverage up like an Akiem Hicks could. So the point I'm making with that is that because he's not sort of your traditionally technically sound guy with all the techniques that he uses, there are things that may be more difficult for him to adjust. And perhaps his technique, his footwork, his hand placement will have to be that much more proficient because he's playing, or when he gets back into the lineup, because he'll be playing through an injury. So that'll be an interesting sort of chess match to watch how Akiem Hicks can figure out a way to be effective and how the Bears utilize him. You know, perhaps he's not even a first and second down guy consistently because your hand placement and your leverage and those things that require power and torquing of your limbs and your joints, that can put additional stress on a joint that's obviously not going to be 100% when he returns to the field. So maybe he's a sub-package guy in a lot of situations where perhaps you can get away with just focusing on penetration and you're not necessarily going to put your linebackers in a bind if you allow an offensive lineman to run through that left arm because you can't as effectively hit that blocking surface to stop them, you know, if they're going to scoop or double team you to get up to the next level. There's a lot of things that could still work really well. I think it'll depend on how the Bears deploy him. And of course, it goes without saying just how healthy he actually is when he steps back out there.
That is a thorough description of what Hicks is dealing with when he tries to come back by someone who played in the league, someone who played in college that understands some of this stuff. And I love Anthony Heron because of the way that he describes stuff. I think he makes things very, very easy for us. So to look at it even more broadly, though, we look at what teams have done rushing the ball against the Bears with and without Hicks in the lineup. So, Herbie, what's the average of rushing yards for teams in games that Akiem Hicks has played in?
61.5.
All right. What is it in games that he hasn't played in?
115.5.
And even in a game where the Bears did a decent enough job of stopping the run, especially in the second half against the Rams, one of the things the Rams did is they kind of left Roquan, they let him run free because they felt like Todd Gurley in the first half of that game could get to the second level of the defense because Akiem Hicks wasn't there. I also think, and like we were talking about with JJ, to me the bigger impact is not having someone collapse the pocket on passing downs and the impact that that has on Mac as a pass rusher. If he's healthy and ready to go, the Bears are getting back, hopefully, even a 75 to 80% Akiem Hicks will do a lot of good things for the Bears defense overall. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk about the Bears in a different way. We're talking about whether or not you want the Bears to make the playoffs. I'll explain next here on The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.